go. Hey, welcome to Empath of Least Resistance. Today, we have a special guest co-host. He is a guy with a penis, I believe.
Last I checked.
And his name's Aaron Spursky.
Hello.
Hi, Aaron.
Hi, Annie.
Hi, you're a guy.
You're a girl.
Let's get together and make something happen.
Sounds like a plan.
For those who don't know Aaron, he is a drummer. That's why you might hear those tapping sounds that his feet are making intermittently on the floor. But also, You're the drummer from bands that some people like.
A few.
Let's play a game. I'll say one of them, and then you say one of them.
Okay.
Beachwood Sparks.
The Wankers.
The Lilies.
Utter Chaos.
Father John Misty.
Doug and the Slugs.
Won't Somebody Fist Me? Were you not in some Won't Somebody Fist Me?
No, not in that band, but I did play with Honor Graffiti, if that rhymes with Fist
with
Me.
With Ariel Pink, y'all, Pink, y'all.
Ariel Pink Sock and the Honor Graffitis.
That's cool. I always wanted to be in a band with the word pink sock in it. So instead, I just named Giant Drags Tour Corporation Pink Sock Tour Corp.
Oh, nice.
Closest I've gotten so far.
I had a pair of pink socks that I wore with blue trousers during the Father John Misty tour, and everyone thought it was strange.
Why? Two colors that didn't quite look right?
Yeah.
Oh. Do you think you're an empath, Aaron?
I do, actually. I'm a softy. I'm a soft-hearted fellow, actually, you know?
Well, you are a Cancer.
Yeah.
Which is a water sign, which means you're very sensitive. Water represents the emotions.
I'm sentimental, for sure. Maybe to a fault.
It's not your fault. And I'm like the opposite of one of those, almost, yet your sign comes right after mine.
Gemini.
Gemini crickets right in my behind.
I love Geminis.
I love Cancers.
I think Gemini is an underrated...
Well, a lot of them suck is why. People don't like Geminis.
Do you pronounce the I?
Gemini.
Gemini?
I do.
Yeah. Joshua Tillman told me that he was an empath.
But he might have been a narc.
I don't know. I've never met an empath that told me upon meeting them they were an empath, but it's good to know thyself.
Yeah. It's not really one of the things you want to drop the bomb on right away. I would tell someone I was a Gemini, but I don't because I'm embarrassed, honestly.
Right.
Because nobody likes Geminis.
They've been shamed, yeah. I was told I was a Gemini the first 14 years of my life until I had my chart done, so...
That's pretty crazy to go that long.
Yeah, so I identify with Gemini because I'm
You're
an
pretty
hour...
pretty close.
I'm an hour into Cancer.
Man.
0 degrees.
98 degrees. You know, I was told that I was an Aryan for the first 31 years of my life, only to find out I was a Jew in the first hour of being 31.
Mind-blowing. That's mind-blowing.
There goes my identity.
Yeah. Aryan, Gentile, and then you're a Jew. Just like that, over
and then
a cup of tea.
There goes my white riot act.
Mmm.
Oh, well. Well, welcome to Empath of Least Resistance. This is a podcast, in case you haven't realized that, after going to the iTunes podcast store and downloading it. It's just about a show about, you know, what it's like to be kind of like, to feel things in the day and age where nobody feels much of anything at all. Walking Dead robot zombies is what I call most of the world's population. And we were just, me and Aaron were just, or Aaron and I guess.
I say me and you, but...
I say me and Bobby McGee.
Yeah.
Busted flat, Baton Rouge, waiting for a train, feel nearly faded as my jeans. Whoops.
This talk about, really quickly before we get to that, is the I, the whomever and I, fitting that into every sentence, regardless if it's grammatical correctness or not, seems to be the way people have gone these days.
You know,
I use me regardless.
You know how I think they've remedied that is by now everyone is not about so-and-so and I. It's just about I and I, just like Bob Marley might say, except they're only, they're just talking about themselves because millennials have grown up and now they're like the desirable age range for all things that are important.
Right.
They're the trendsetters in the world and they're the most selfish, like narcissistic
generation,
ever.
Absolutely.
You were saying something the other day about how, you know, so you said something about like the Boy Scout era. And
The Gen Xers were raised in the 70s where there was a sense of community. Everything was kind of this community-oriented thing. Rock concerts were very community-oriented. You know, everyone did the wave and passed the beach ball along and the Boy Scouts. So we all did Boy Scouts and stuff like that.
And you said, look at the bands. Like,
look at the bands from Gen X. They are bands. They stick together. Example, Red Hot Chili Peppers. Another example, I don't know, but there's a lot of them, and they all are prime examples.
Rage Against the Machine, perhaps?
Yep, Rage Against the Machine, Jane's Addiction, you know, I don't know. Lots and lots of bands that depend on the four or five people, Pearl Jam, Nirvana.
Even Nirvana with three people never broke up.
No.
They're still playing shows.
But now, the millennial age bands, there will be as many as 12, anywhere from 4 to 12 people on stage. They'll use a full band to record every album. But when you look at the credits and the picture, there's just one guy.
Yeah.
It's just one guy who takes the credit for everything. I haven't quite figured out how they do everything yet.
Well, I think they do everything because they're the one that made it up and named it. And if you weren't there at that moment, then you don't get any of my candy.
Right.
Angel, get. Are you out of your mind?
Did she stop it?
I can't tell it. Sorry, tech diffs. Angel Baby did stop it. Or I did when I picked her up off of the laptop.
Cats. However, where were we?
Yeah, we're talking about, you know, and then there's all these people and they have like a name like of a band, but it's just them. Even I'm a little bit guilty of it.
Yeah. Well, you know, there are examples of that even in the Gen X era, but I just mean by and large, you know, that seems to be, I mean, we all know Rivers Cuomo is Weezer, but somehow Weezer still identifies as a band. So.
Well, I think it comes down to maybe royalty splits.
Right.
If you're, I don't want to name anyone's band because I don't want anyone to hate me, but because everyone already does. But like, you know, if Chino from the Deftones didn't split everything, you know, equally amongst the Deftones, there might be an issue.
Right.
But as I learned from when I was on the Deftones song, even the DJ who just spins a record gets 17%.
Right.
Although Warner Brothers is trying to convince me that we all only get 15% now. I know it was 17 because I also
You can break up 100 in two.
I can't, but I have friends who can and who will tell me the answer.
Yeah.
I'm not good at math.
Well, that's, you know, that's how the bands that stay bands for a long time and don't have issues typically do it, is by having some kind of equitable split they can all agree upon and go home and sleep at night with.
Because otherwise, why should everyone put in so much work just to be left empty-handed one day?
True, true. I mean, a big part of that whole life's long wages earned over a course of a few years is, you know, depends upon those residuals, so.
Residual.
Or royalty, as some call it.
You know who's not seeing any royalties today?
Who?
King Tut.
King Tut hasn't, has he? And he has had his, all of his goods taken on tour. Pillaged. Yeah. And taken on tour.
I heard you saw him when he was on tour.
In 1978, he went on tour and he came to Los Angeles to the Natural History Museum.
Oh.
And we got to see all of the gold bits and bobs that were his.
Front row?
Well, no, it was more like you paid a ticket and you were allowed to walk through a guided obstacle course of goodies at a certain clip and then out, because there was a long line waiting to get into. So you couldn't just go in and hang out. You had to keep moving.
No time to admire.
You had time to admire, but it still was, it was a slow pace, but it was kept moving along regardless. But yeah, it was the first time the Jewels went on a world tour, apparently.
Not for you, though. That would be many years later.
Mm-hmm.
But you did see King Tut. Maybe that started it all.
Mm-hmm.
And you were starting to tell me before we were doing the podcast that the Egyptians, because I said, that is a cursed item, that King Tut thing is cursed because the Egyptians were worshiping Satan, I mean the sun, whatever you want to say. And you said, no, Egyptians aren't.
I just defended them because they were pre-Christians, so they would have had to have found a way of being spiritual without
Jesus.
Without Jesus.
There was still God, I'm pretty sure.
Yes, God still existed then.
And they wanted nothing to do with it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They wanted to worship Thoth, the bird god, half. You know, I had a girl who stayed at my Airbnb who was fully possessed by the spirit of Thoth, the bird-headed Egyptian god of what, knowledge?
Yes.
It's always a knowledge. You know, who was also knowledgeable? That snake in the tree that convinced Eve to take a little nibble of that forbidden fruit.
Mm, yeah. So, in essence, self-awareness, intellectual, you know, capabilities that beforehand they wouldn't have had. They would have just been an animal.
No. Because animals don't... Yeah, they don't have self-awareness, but I think what it is they, you know, that in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve walked with God or whatever, they didn't have awareness that they were naked, that they had a need for shame, that they weren't all a part of this Garden of Eden, you know, and weren't a part of God. Now look at everyone. No one has any sense of being all one, and which we are. We're all one.
But they had no sense of... Basically, they were in a dream state of sorts. They were kind of living, as you said, like not a zombie state, but they weren't fully awake.
They were, because they were fully immersed in their blissful existence as living in their true natural state.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How terrible. I would much rather know what the capital of fucking Ohio is so that I can be, you know, clothed, shame-filled, so riddled with fucking, you know, traumas.
Yeah.
That I can't even function.
Well, yeah, our DNA is programmed with millennia of traumas.
Right, from everyone in our bloodline. But you said that the Egyptians were secretly controlled by the reptilians?
Well, basically, unwittingly, the pharaoh, the royal bloodline, had some connection or some awareness of who their ruler was or rulers were, but the common folk that listened to the priestly castes, which were above the pharaohs, had no knowledge of this behind the scenes traveling. They called them travelers, but they were
traveling Wilburys,
coming from another place in space time, and that's what the pyramids predate. You know, the Egyptian dynastic period by a good, you know, I believe 10 or 20,000 years is according to my information.
Mayan?
My personal knowledge.
Oh, your information. I thought you meant like Mayan, like the Mayan calendar.
Right,
like,
no.
Like the Mayan formation.
No. Not, but from my personal research as what I've unearthed. And yeah.
So that sounds a lot like today, wherein the rulers of at least our country, but also England. Hello to our producer, Jed Shepherd at Post Pop Podcasts. Hey, old Jed. So his queen, our presidents, are always controlled by otherworldly reptili beings that right. are operating them like puppets with
their
hands up their buttholes. Meanwhile, the general public of our world knows nothing about this.
Yeah, thinks it's too ridiculous to possibly fathom the fact that there may be other life forms that are capable of traversing this galaxy, that galaxy, this universe, the multiverse.
Butthole.
Whatever.
Yeah.
But it's a butthole in a sense that it's a wormhole to be able to travel from any place in space-time to another. It's you don't actually travel the distance as light would travel.
Because that's why they call it where the sun don't shine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But now they're saying that the sun is only 4,000 miles away.
It's getting closer every day.
Yeah, and it's the same size as the moon.
Which is a projection, but let's not get to Crazyville.
No, we'll stick with the traditional method. So yeah, so those folks got chased away, though, and the kind of Nordic blonde blue fellers that chase the reptiles off are the ones that within 10 to 20 years did away with the superstitions, and then thus the Egyptian dynastic period began.
Well, if you believe in things that you don't understand, you suffer. Superstition ain't the way.
True enough.
But wait, the Egyptians, I thought, ended up being the royal family in England.
Well, there's some questionable aspects to that, but that the blood, the Rh negative blood has a high copper count, right? So it bleeds blue.
Yeah, that's not true because I'm Rh negative and I've bled before and you don't bleed blue. You bleed red just like everyone else.
I see.
So there's so much misinformation out there. But, you know, I believe in the Rh negative bloodline you have. Okay.
So that is basically what you're saying is that the royals share the same Rh negative bloodline that the royals of past civilizations and dynasties also shared.
Right.
Because
if you rewind everything to the very beginning, you know, we're talking about Rh negative blood is the blood of beings that don't originate on this planet.
Right.
And so don't originate here, where are they from? Well, they're celestial beings that are from the heavens. Why? Because they're not humans. Humans have a Rh positive, you know, humans are related to a monkey, but not in as in evolution is a real thing. That's a devil thing. But what is real is that there is Rh negative. No scientist can tell you where they're from. I can. Dr. Annie Hardy, a quantum physicist, and on my period.
Yes.
I bleed red like everyone else, and all, if you take it back, before there were fallen angels and demons, which a reptilian is a demon, they were all just angels of God. So they would all have the same blood type, Rh negative. And then as they went down and in, you know,
married the wives of men.
Yes, when the sons of God came unto the daughters of men and bore to them children, which
were the great men of
renown.
Yes, see, exactly.
That's cool that someone else knows this stuff. It's not me. Tight.
Yes.
So when they did that, you know, depending, I don't believe the whole Rh negative race is evil. I'm gonna go ahead and say O negative is maybe reptilian. Anyone with red hair looking like a ginger, reptili. That's what the reptilies look like.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to look like that to be a reptili. Oh, man, is that angel baby scratching at the door like a reptili baby? She's a reptili, though, because her hair is really blonde.
Mm-hmm. No doubt.
And then we have, you know, the A's and the B's, one of which I'm going to go ahead and say came from Cain. One came from Abel.
Yes, absolutely.
And then we have the separate blood type, AB negative, which is from, the man doesn't want us doing this podcast. They sent out the scrambler helicopters.
Mm-hmm.
So AB negative would be the Christos bloodline that was related to Jesus and Mary's child that they had together.
Right.
His Mary Magdalene, not his mom.
The Holy Grail.
The Holy Grail, protected by the Rosicrucians.
Right.
Well, the truth is out now. Everyone's like, that's so crazy, whatever, I don't believe you. But I think pretty soon people are going to start realizing this isn't the world you think you've been told that it is.
Yeah, I mean, how is it that Jews are considered white but not? Have you ever thought of that?
Yeah, it's very weird. And a lot of Jews, you'll find, are Rh negative in blood kind.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that's why Hitler wanted to kill them.
And that's where I was taking this conversation, strangely enough.
Beat you to it.
Yes, the blood rites, the blood ritual, the blood magic, the blood is where...
Blood magic.
It all lies. All of our issues today on this world, in this world.
Come from menstrual.
Come from blood.
Yes. And I would like to be so bold as to say most people I know, if they're not Rh negative, they have Rh negative recessive gene. Like you are O positive.
Mm-hmm. I am.
But I would like to... Have you asked one of your dad's relatives what their blood types are?
No, but I will after this podcast.
You need to, because I want to prove my theory to be correct.
Yes.
Because, yeah, that's just how it goes. Anyway...
Well, then most likely, my dad was blonde blue.
Exactly.
And left-handed, so...
And that's how it looked. Mm-hmm. I don't know a lot about lefties, except that, like, something ain't right about y'all.
Yeah.
But... I do know that most lefties have a high, like, propensity...
Correct.
...towards doing crimes.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's what these two left-handed people that were staying in my backyard told me. Well, the girl told me. The guy just called...
Make sense because most U.S. presidents are left-handed.
And there you go. Strange magic.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. So that leads me to the topic of brainwashed. What do I call it? Robot zombie? Zombie robot?
Day of the Living Dead.
Yeah. Brainwashed. Mind controlled.
Robot slaves.
Robot
dead
slaves.
People.
Zombie dead people.
Zombie dead people.
Walking dead zombie robots.
Basically everyone who's just doing what they're doing without any thought of why they're doing it, mainly because they're controlled into thinking that they must have children, you must breed.
Nobody thinks that anymore, I don't feel. I mean, some do, but in LA, I think we have a different taste for stuff. People definitely think, I'm not supposed to have kids. Women in their 30s are getting abortions.
Well, yeah, but and they think that they can still wait and they have time, but that is all based on a couple of different elements, which
like
really...
Like not knowing that Nibiru's coming from the planet to kill us all?
Or just the Rockefeller Foundation's need to, you know, curb population expansion and the... Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation as well.
Oh, they're curbing all kinds of human life.
Yeah,
general.
It's time to curb. There's too many people, time to curb. We've got to pull back. Whereas before, we needed to...
Pull out,
you know, we needed to expand because lots of things needed to be mined and built and lots of economic growth needed to happen. So just plug away.
But
have
now,
those kids.
Now they think there's too many people here.
Yeah, they know there is. It's unsustainable.
But really, God told us something in the Bible, which was go forth and multiply.
But he didn't say to fuck with the nitrogen molecule so that we could create chemical fertilizer and feed way more people than nature could actually handle in the natural world.
I think that's in the book of Leviticus, actually. Mm. Well, I could be wrong. Hard to say, I guess, but yeah. I mean, I don't know. What do I know? Almost nothing. But, like, I don't think it's as overpopulated as they'd like for us to believe.
No.
But what they do want, ultimately, is a race of brainwashed, walking dead zombie robots.
Absolutely.
To go do their bidding and make them money. The
Absolutely.
Part I understand the absolute least, because... What the fuck do these reptilians need money for?
Well, here's the thing, okay? And this all goes back to gold. And why is gold the most valued element in the world? And why has it always been valued as the most valuable element?
Even in the Bible.
Going all the way back, yeah. And is where these reptilians that were responsible for the Great Pyramids of Egypt... they had to make, through DNA manipulation, a slave race to do their bidding, to do their mining. And what it comes down to is that gold can be converted into a substance that allows the DNA strand to never reach the end and burn out.
So you can stay alive forever?
So... essentially. In the biblical times, they lived to be like 960 and 370 and...
69.
Mana. That stuff that they picked up outside of the volcano that spewed ash. That was probably a smelting... Some mountain that spewed ash, you know, Zion or one of those things.
Vesuvius. Well, so they wanted the gold, but why?
The gold is valued not for gold, but for its properties that can be transformed into... It's in the Old Testament, as a matter of fact. The kings that kept these, you know, smart men of renown coming in to try and... make them this elixir of life.
Which is like these.
It's the monatomic
gold.
Correct.
In my hand.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to take two right now. Wait, can you give me some water?
I can give you some water. Now, this is the part where we have an 800 commercial like Alex Jones, you know.
Hey, are you looking for a cool new way to stay alive until you don't ever die? Have some monatomic gold with me, you guys. Any arty brand monatomic gold. I'm just like Alex, what's his name from that? The guy who screams. Yeah, InfoWars.
Yeah.
That guy's so angry.
He's given himself a permanently hoarse tone of voice.
Get these new vitamins, they keep you from getting vocal nodes. Vocal crazy nodes. Vocal crazy nodes. You nodes what? I'm gonna get some tonight. So, well, I still don't understand, like, why. I guess because, like, Earth is this, like, simulation. It's like the physical 3D world versus the spirit world. Mm-hmm. And everybody wants to come here, maybe. Yeah. And once they're here, they don't want to leave.
Because it's rad. If it's not polluted, if you go to the best places like Maui, I mean, who would want to leave?
Who would want to leave? And if you learn the secret of life, like if you're born into some satanic family that, you know that this is 3D and like fucking we don't actually want to die.
Yeah.
And you want to live forever. So you do this, you get the money, you get the monatomic gold, you take it, you live forever.
And you also know that by the glands, the way the humans are growing. If you when you get babies, and the royals did this up and acknowledged doing this up until the late 1700s,
crack one's head open,
crack
like
one's
a beer.
Head open,
oh my
and,
god,
and suck out the glands, the pituitary, the things that are basically the elixir, the things that are just bustling with life force, and consume those. You actually
are a fucking piece of shit.
Vampire that lives much longer and ages much slower.
Also, is that what they mean by vampirizing 3-year-old white males? Is like raping a 3-year-old white boy?
It's not so much. I mean, you certainly do. You extract or, the life force of having sex with a young, thing. I imagine on a psychic level or on a metaphysical level, you get some of that youth energy, but also, yes, the physical consumption of their
semen
glands, actually. Ugh. The bits and bobs of the body that are the, elements, the chemical elements that like how Sylvester Stallone takes HGH. But this is, like, better than that, essentially.
Oh, brother.
Adrenochrome.
Want some lotion?
I'll have lotion.
I don't know what is worse, eating a baby's brains like some zombie or having sex with it instead.
Or both.
Yeah. Oh, well, I don't think they always kill them. Usually they, like...
harvest.
No, they just have sex with them more than once. But let's not get it. This is too dark for our listeners.
All right, we can turn it into
the light. Let's turn it into something.
Yeah.
It's not going to be a bright light. In fact, the light in and of itself, I'm
let's
question
see.
Of.
We can discuss Agartha. We can discuss adrenochrome.
I don't know much of anything about that either.
Okay.
Let's talk about zombies. In movies, zombies eat brains.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, shit.
Mm-hmm.
Just like reptiles.
Mm-hmm. See?
And they're these walking dead.
And vampires drink blood.
Yep. And
to stay alive.
And Wolfman has nards. I don't know what Wolfman does.
Wolfman, when the moon is full, Wolfman goes out and feasts upon the living humans. And then feels really good and re-energized, and in the morning has no recollection of what he did.
Oh, Wolfman's like the narcissist who, like, the narcissist is mostly chill, at least seemingly to the outside world, as they're covertly abusing you, and they're so good at it, they can abuse you right in front of someone else, and that someone else doesn't even know that what this narc is doing to you is fucked up.
Oh, fuck yeah.
And so, the narcissist, I believe, is one third of this unholy trinity that we're discussing right now that's alive and well in society more so than people realize. Wolfman narcs, fucking vampire whatevers, and zombies.
Walking zombie dead people.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
But in my thing of that, like they're not eating brains. Their brains have actually been eaten, these Walking Dead robot zombies,
because
they're a part robot.
They're fed chemicals in their soda pop and stuff that do actually take all of their capacity for thought and,
it's like drugs.
It's, analytical thought, anything,
thinking
deductive
for oneself.
Reasoning. Yeah, exactly. You do not want independent thought of any sort.
That reminds me that I wrote this zombie robot reversal plan over the last day.
Oh, nice.
And it's for, because, you know, my friend, one of my good friends came to me and she said, I'm dead and I feel like a walking dead robot zombie. She basically said, I don't know what I want to do. My life feels like undope, very untight. And I don't know the truth. I don't know my truth. I'm lost and I'm
What's
like,
the point yeah. to anything?
And I think a lot of people today in this day and age of ultimate zombieism feel like this. They don't have, you know, life is a chore. Everything is laborious.
You're just getting through it each day and then there's nothing to look forward to.
Except, like, maybe if you do drugs, you right. can look forward to that.
Yeah.
Well, I have news for everyone. It's not supposed to feel this way. And I didn't know, as I myself was a Walking Dead robot zombie for so many years, you know, all I had to look forward, I wrote a song about it, actually. This is what I wait for, it said. Every 3 hours, take more. That was my schedule for how often I could take prescription painkillers. Don't you tell me life's a bore. I got stuff to live for. This is what I wait for. And then it goes down to two. Every 2 hours, every hour, and then every minute. Because that was all I had to live for. It was getting fucking high, maybe, but mostly not because I took so many pills. I never could get high.
No.
But then the universe sent me on a Mr. Toad wild ride of destruction. And my, luckily, thanks to one dark triad narcissist and to my dear friend Monty, shout out to Monty-o. First, the destruction came via the narc. And then sort of the rebuilding came through Monty. Just, she would just take me to jam. And she showed me, hey, man, she's a magical person. She was like my shaman. She showed me life isn't living for other people and trying to make other people who are not ever going to be happy, happy.
Right.
Trying to get the approval of someone who's never going to approve of me.
Right.
Like, who gives a fuck about other people's...
It's about being present in the moment
exactly.
and following your bliss.
Exactly. And
living a simple life, an uncluttered life, a free life.
Or extremely cluttering your life with things that you buy at the dollar store.
Well,
but
you know.
It worked for, you know, it takes what it takes.
Yeah.
And anyway, now here I am, and I'm a pretty present person. I get to live a life that is magical in nature, spiritual in, you know, over and undertone, and I believe myself to be happy now. But it took me a lot of suffering ways to... You know, it took me trauma and complex post-traumatic stress disorder before I realized there's a lot of things in my life that were constricting the flow of universal life energy slash vitality.
The benevolence of our...
Our true nature, which is that of a spiritual nature. And we all have the ability to feel this way, to feel free. You know, for some, it's going to be harder than for others.
I found that music, especially singing, is a real good way to free up the spirit and...
It's true. Music is so
healing.
Get
present in the moment, you know.
Performing music, I should say.
Yes.
Not listening to it
so
much.
No. Performing is what I meant. Performing.
Yeah.
I didn't mean listening to it. Yeah.
Well, it makes sense because we have our seven chakra system going on in us and it starts... You know, there's seven chakras, there's seven musical notes.
Mm-hmm.
And I've found for myself personally, I've probably mentioned this already, but like I'll be writing songs a lot in the key of something. Back in the Giant Drag days, it was always in the key of C, which is your root chakra, which is where you start. If you have a blockage down there, then you have to unblock that chakra before
That's
you
survival.
Unblock. Yeah, survival.
Basic survival.
And right to be here on the planet. But today I'm writing songs in the key of G. C, D, E, F, G, the throat chakra.
Yeah, there you go.
Guess it's time I speak up. So on my zombie robot reversal plan, step one is eliminate TV, music, movies, magazines, newspaper. No entertainment whatsoever.
Media.
Media. Social media. Fuck that shit. It's poisonous and toxic. That encourages us to compare ourselves to others when each one of us There's no comparison. Each of us is special and unique, and we shouldn't be comparing ourselves to another person. It doesn't behoove anybody to do
so. What about podcasts?
Podcasts are different because they can be full of hope and information, like this one is.
And documentaries?
Documentaries are chill.
Okay.
Step number two, clean your diet. Remove all processed foods. Scale way back on meat and dairy if you can't remove them completely. And start taking some spirulina or some...
Oh, and sugar.
Processed sugar is poison. Although it's my favorite, something I have a trouble with. But at least if you eat sugar, try to make it honey or a natural
fructose
sugar.
Type thing.
Nothing white.
There's nothing refined.
There's not a lot of white in nature.
No.
Step number three, meditate daily. Begin to silence your mind's meaningless, fear-based chatter of worries and things that don't matter. Learn to pull out of your perspective where you are the experiencer of life and learn to become the objective observer of life. This helps separate you from your ego or your false idea of who you are, and it helps you not to be so reactive in nature.
Well, it bypasses the neurotic pathways that are so deeply ingrained in our you know, response systems, our thought patterns. So when one meditates, what is it that we should do to meditate? How do we meditate in order to bypass those neurotic pathways?
Are you asking me?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, at first, for a beginner, I would just like find a comfortable, quiet place where you won't be disturbed for a couple minutes. Put your feet flat on the ground or...
On the earth? On earthen ground?
It doesn't matter. I mean, preferably, yes.
Barefoot preferably on soil.
But if you just do it in your room, that's fine too. And you just sit there and you grow quiet. You take some deep breaths into the bottom three quarters of your lungs. And in and out. And you just concentrate on your breath and on your breathing.
Mm-hmm.
And then these thoughts are going to start bubbling up to the surface that tear you away from being focused on nothing but your breath. And just
go back to the breath.
Just observe them and come back to your breath. And eventually, when these thoughts keep coming up and begging your attention and telling you to worry about this, bother with that, eventually when you keep bringing it back to your breath, they'll stop trying. Oops. And then you'll have this state of like silence, a silent mind, which most of us today lack. And that's fucked because there's sort of these reptilians that run the world secretly from a spirit realm are preying on our fears and causing all of us to live a fear-based existence where if we're not living in fear of something like not having enough money, then we are living in want of things like, I need that new car, I need that girl, I need that, you know, this, that, or the other. And that's not what life is about at all.
And the funny thing is, having had as yourself a want and desire for certain things that you achieve, you realize that target of want keeps moving forward just farther than wherever it is you get.
It's a dangling carrot.
It's kind of like trying to find the end of a rainbow.
Yeah, although admittedly, I think I saw one of them once in
Scotland.
The
end of a rainbow? Okay.
I think, but I'm not sure. I don't remember. But I do remember weeping because it was so beautiful. And then someone stole my laptop with all that footage on it.
Well,
thank you. Thanks. But
I've never been able to get to the end of one. Every time I get close to it, it seems to keep moving a little farther. But my point is just that when you live in that state of desire, no matter how much you achieve or have, you will still have a sense of scarcity.
Yes, or lack.
Or lack.
That lacking mentality. Yeah. Because if you wanted to be happy and fulfilled, you could be that way right now.
Mm-hmm.
No physical world item can bring somebody happiness. The happiness is locked up inside you, and you just got to undo the chains that you put around it, like, and let yourself be happy and free. And this, my zombie robot reversal plan, is also the plan of someone who wants to become happy joyous and free. Don't worry, it's not AA, although they say those same words together.
Yes.
Step number four, get into something. Anything new that makes you feel excited or interested or driven to do that thing again. Gardening and crafting are both great. Music, playing, not listening, is an incredibly healing art form. Remind yourself substantial time must be spent doing something before someone can be great at it. Don't judge yourself. Just keep going.
Maybe that could be what you could get into, BMX dirt biking or...
or scissor dumb diking.
Yes.
But I think music and crafting and
things that you actually, gardening. Where you create, you see the fruits of your labor in a sense.
Literally, if you're gardening.
If you're gardening or if you're writing a song or if you're crafting and you make this beautiful thing.
Guitar knob. Yeah, that was the first time I experienced like... earning self-esteem, because I feel a sense of being divorced from like these songs that I write and stuff. They really don't feel like mine, because I don't think they are. I think music is filling this like void in humankind for a spirituality and a connection with God personally.
Yeah, well, that's interesting, because a lot of songwriters and rock and roller people who've lived the full life and get kind of to the end of the whole trip seem to all say similar things that it's actually the opposite of what we think of songwriting. You think of songwriting as you sitting down and your canvas is silence and that you come up with these chord structures and melodies and things, whereas it's really a full chord of every note and every sound, and you're pulling away from that, and it's the silences that you put into the chord that create the song, and that is in a sense always playing. That's the song of creation, that chord of creation. So it's an antenna thing. It's not really anyone's particular song.
That's how I've always felt. That is interesting. I've always felt more like a fax machine.
Yeah.
Like I'm just a channel who receives it all.
Keith Richards said that. Jerry Garcia said that.
Great. I hope I'm not a Satan worshiper and don't know it. Number five. Release all judgment. Your better judgment has gotten you to become a walking dead robot zombie, so maybe it's not better after all, eh? Everything is what it is, regardless of how you feel about it. When you view something as being negative, say a person's actions you don't approve of, that judgment is harmful to them and you. And unless they killed someone and you judge that you could be next and take actions accordingly, I'm sure the act of judgment doesn't improve anyone's life quality in other situations. But if somebody really just like murdered someone and they're going to kill you next, then judgment's helpful. But most of the time, judgment is just like...
a reflection of your own...
yeah, it's a projection of your own inner shit.
Mm-hmm.
I think I say that in my next one.
Okay.
But it might be one much later than that. It's not the next one. But yeah, that's all that it is, judgment and whatnot. Oh, that was my step number eight, stop talking shit. This is the most...
oh, absolutely, don't speak wrong.
This is the most hateful thing you can do to yourself. Even though you're talking about others in theory, you're actually not. You're only pointing out your own flaws that you spot in others unconsciously. Pay attention next time people are shit-talking. You'll hear everyone's shadow aspects called out and hung on another person. When we do this, we do not accept someone and ourselves. We're unaccepting also of ourselves as we are. So we're not able to, do step nine, which is practice unconditional love.
Yeah, it doesn't make you or anyone else feel good talking shit about
them. I mean, it is fun, though.
Well, it can seem...
but it's more harmful. It's like that short... fix.
You'll give yourself throat cancer speaking ill.
Or make your teeth have to get pulled out.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That's why I probably just had to have that root canal. Because I've been fucking watching music videos with Arrow and talking shit on the people in them.
Well, it's sometimes, having an opinion and knowing what not to do is a way to guide yourself into the light.
True. Yeah. And the light is the unconditional love, as long as we're talking about, you know, the light of truth, or, you know, not the light of Lucifer that all these New Age deceived Satan worshipers seem to be talking about.
Right.
But practice unconditional love is number 9, which asks nothing in return. We love for the good feeling that it gives us when we love someone or something. We constrict ourselves from feeling love when we place expectations or restrictions on giving out our love to others. Meditate on the truth of love without condition. No one ever was hurt by love, only by the expectations they placed around it. Stop fearing loving fearlessly.
Well, you know, let's see. I was thinking something that someone said to me. They were saying that they're full of gratitude and love, you know, and feeling very inspired by having gratitude and love for their fellow peoples. So I think that's a good way to go about staying in the light.
And that takes me back to number 6. I'm skipping around a bit. Oh, am I talking about cum?
This sounds, that sounds, and so, like, I just love playing music for the first time in decades, probably. Sad.
That was me in Brighton on the Giant Drag, super end of Giant Drag tour. Yeah, that sounded really sexual in nature, though. I love the way it feels coming out of me, and then that guy goes, yeah.
Yeah.
I just feel so much lighter.
Mm.
Lighten the load. Step number 6, bless everything you see and touch. Get into the practice of gratitude. When you're in the shower, remind yourself how lucky you are to have this shower. Warm water, soap, a bathroom, a house, a toilet. One day you may not be so lucky to have all this, or electricity, or cell phones. So appreciate what you have now instead of always thinking about what you want. Oh, we just talked about that. You'll always be lacking if you're wanting something that isn't there already. Isn't that funny?
It is funny how that law of attraction, or the secret, as they were calling it, is, you know, from my experience, the things I have worried about not having are the things that I've surely lost.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, because then when you are worried about losing something, you act from this, like, you know, dishonest place, usually, like being afraid that your girlfriend will leave you. You lie to her about the girl that you slept with,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
but nothing's going to drive a bigger wedge in between. We're all becoming very aware of the truth as the Earth's vibration keeps on raising. We're all getting a little more psychic, a little more in tune with each other in the collective unconscious.
Yeah, you know when people are lying, and you know.
You definitely know when someone didn't actually lose your fox fur, and it.
Yeah.
Whatever the case may be.
It just. There's no point in even attempting to deny things because you just look more foolish.
Yeah, and everybody knows the truth. You know, a lie has to be agreed upon by the lie teller and the lie recipient.
Right.
And so don't agree to it. I won't bargain into that contract. Oh, which leads me right to number 7. Remove falsities. Practice extreme honesty and transparency. Doing this removes our ability to lie and manipulate others and ourselves, an act that's harmful to both parties equally. And even physically, it's harmful. In order to foster a loving relationship with anyone, we must first love ourselves, which is very hard to do when we're doing unloving things like lying. Which
so
is
share passwords, right, with your social media.
I'm not afraid. I freely give out all my passwords.
Yeah.
If has it bitten me in the ass? Just once. With Asia, actually.
Well...
But I guess that doesn't really matter anymore. I
was thinking more in terms of your spouse, as you had mentioned. You
know,
yeah. But
that's
yeah, friendships.
More important.
Yeah, I mean, I think.
But really, you know, it's important that we realize our relationships with a homeless bum on the street, they're just as deserving of our unconditional love and compassion and empathy. Maybe not. But like a regular person we don't know, let's say. You know, because a lot of homeless people are very entitled and very tripping.
Yeah, and they choose, a lot of them, to go without whatever comforts that the services of the government would provide for them so that they can use those resources for drugs because they have a spiritual malady. And
AKA that's, a demon, you think?
Yeah.
Definitely.
Spiritual malady is a demon, yes.
Shout out to my sister right now who is going psycho. That sucks for you. You know what I'm noticing? Over and over again, the trend I see is people who are lost in victimhood. Rest in peace, Backyard Sean. Rest in peace,
mm-hmm.
Asia. Rest in peace, my sister.
Mm-hmm.
They're the people who are going so crazy, extreme, walking dead robot zombie, that they cease to exist. At least to me, mm-hmm. they're dead to me because they're such walking dead robot zombies. And it sounds so cruel, kind of. And I just like to touch on the fact to my listeners, like, there has been some episodes of this podcast where I sound like a monster cunt. But let me say this, and I mean no major disrespect. You know, Asia is and was covert narking me, you know. And it's crazy when you're with a narcissist, whether it be a friend or a romantic relationship, the person who is not the narcissist sort of buckles under the, because like I said, the narc can abuse you covertly in front of all your friends and family, and they won't be like, yo, what's up with that? Why is that person abusing you? It's so covert. It's so minimal. It's so mild. It's like she could say something nobody in the audience listening would know, that like she was so absolutely full of shit. And so, you know, I become explosive. Oh, you're so full of shit, whatever, whatever. And I seem like it seems like, well, that bitch isn't really an empath. She's like verbally abusing her co-host here. But like you've seen, I don't act that way to people who aren't like,
yeah,
abuse.
No, it's they somehow draw it out. It's shock therapy for them anyway, for you to recognize what kind of, you know, game or trip they're laying on you. And it's just instinct at that point to deal with them in such a way. So
one day I lost the ability to control my emotional outbursts like that. I became, maybe it was after my CPTSD came on board, I was like, yo, like, someone was lying to me and fucking with me that really didn't need to. And I just, like, started losing my shit on them and screaming. And I was like, whoa, what's going on? I had reached my bullshit threshold at the ripe age of 30 or 31. And I just won't stand for it anymore because I see it. I recognize, you know, because they all do it pretty similarly. And when I see it, God, you better run, narc, because I'll fucking lose my mind on you.
Run, narc, run.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of that, reminds me, I'm going to do a little storytelling name dropping, but King Buzzo of the Melvins had a experience much like yours where he had put up with a lot of narcs and people, and finally one day somewhere in the Midwest on tour, a narc came up to him and in their entitled way, you know, demanded something of him, and he just lost it and beat the shit out of him with tears streaming down his face, uncontrollably unable to stop himself, and didn't even know afterwards what had actually occurred because it was so involuntary. But it was, wow, that kind of thing.
That's incredible.
Yeah, and it was that was really the essence of what you just described.
Wow, that's
you
tight.
Reach your threshold, and your body just reacts like on a visceral level. You're not even able to like
control yourself.
No, think your way out of it. It's just, yeah.
And this leads me right back to where we started, which is these mind controlling reptilies have tried to traumatize the entire human race to make them more moldable and controllable. And they've done that through traumatization, like 9/11.
Oh, absolutely. future shock.
Yeah, because that's how with the MK Ultra mind control program thing, you know, they traumatize children so that their minds splinter off into these like honeycombs, and they can have, you know, split personality basically where, because after so much trauma, they start compartmentalizing different aspects of themselves and so anyway, they've you know. We're a traumatized race of human beings.
That's what the body naturally does. That's why you don't remember the pain of childbirth, is it compartmentalizes that experience. So
wait,
that
when you're the child or the mother?
The mother, so that you can keep having more children.
I remember it. But then again, I was in childbirth for like 3 days straight.
Right.
And I, but
it is an actual thing where
no, I believe it because I blacked out during the most painful parts,
right.
Which would be the pushing towards the very end. I would, they say, okay, 3, 2, 1, push.
Pousse.
Saddam Hussein.
That's what they say in France. Pousse for push.
Pousse. Yeah, that's pretty much what we were all looking at, but. It was so painful. I would black out and go to a complete other dimension or something where I could muster the strength to keep pushing this giant Nephilim 8-pound baby through my tiny quarter-sized, at that point, vagina. Oh, my God, that really hurt.
Oh, boy.
Well,
yeah, I mean, those, yeah.
Ouch is all I have to say. Oh, hey, and ouch, look at that. We're out of time.
Oh, my God. Already? I didn't even get to what I wanted to get to.
Well, you'll have to tune in next time for the...
Part 2 of this.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or maybe you'll just be my new co-host because you're so cool and tight.
Well, I can certainly... We can certainly carry on this for several more weeks, I'm sure.
Yes.
If not...
Forever.
Ever and ever.
In holy matrimony. Well, thanks for listening to Empath of Least Resistance. Sorry about that blank spot of time where we didn't do anything for you, but we'll be back next week. Girl, because you know I'm a freak in the sheets. Hey, and if you live in LA on April 11th, we'll be playing a show at the Echo. It'll be heaven. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.